The Public Utilities Commission meeting of November 25th. It's at approximately 9:30 a.m. We're in room 423 in the State Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. With me today, my name is Gary Hansen. With me today are my fellow commissioners, Dusty Johnson and Steve Kolbeck. We'll check to see who's on the telephone with us this morning. Jim Wilcox?
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Tal Wieczorek?
Quentin Riggins appearing for Mr. Wieczorek.
Quentin, thank you. Ryan Taylor?
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Bill Van Camp?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman, and with me is Darla Rogers.
Good morning.
Good morning, Darla. Marlene Bennett?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Colleen Savold?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
George Thompson?
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Joanne Horman?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anyone else in the line whose name I did not call? We're going to change up our agenda just a little bit, just a few housekeeping matters. First of all, we will be taking up TCO 8127 because of a number of challenges for scheduling for some of the parties. Additionally, we will, at the end of this meeting, I would like a little bit of a chat on, just to give people a heads up, sorry I didn't do this earlier, but we generally change the chair sometime towards the either the end of the year or the beginning of the year, and we should probably set a time or a date as to when we're going to do that. It doesn't have to be set at this time, but we should be thinking of that. And personally, I'm thinking it might be the very first meeting of December. The next item that I have down is I wanted to say thank you to in case you weren't aware, there was sort of a stealth election that took place. compared to the other elections, a lot of folks didn't know that it was taking place. I knew it was taking place, but a lot of other people around the state didn't seem to know that it was taking place. And similarly to national elections, they reflect the party and what's been taking place, and I think the Republicans lost on a national level because they had challenges on a national level, and people were very upset with the Republican Party. When I look at my particular election, I know very much so that it was a result of the fact that people were not upset with the Public Utilities Commission. They believe that the Public Utilities Commission is doing a good job. If we were not doing a good job, there would have been a referendum on the PUC, and I would have been that referendum, and would have probably lost the election. So I give a great deal of credit of my election success to my fellow commissioners and to all the staff members of the Public Utilities Commission for doing such a good job, because if we were not doing that job, then I would not have had the success that I did have. So I very much am beholden to my fellow commissioners, both Steve Kolbeck and Dusty Johnson, and to each and every member of the staff, and for all the work that you guys do all of the time for the citizens of Sioux Falls. So I would like to say thank you very, very much for that. We'll move on then with the agenda. If there's no objection, the very first item we will take is TC08-127. For those of you who have agendas, it's on the very last page. It's at the end of the addendum. TC08127, in the matter of the application of Quest Corporation to modify the jurisdictional report requirements in Section 2 by establishing, establishing a percent interstate usage, a PIU, floor for unidentified feature group D, FGD, terminating traffic. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed, and shall the commission suspend the proposed tariff revisions pursuant to SDCL 4931-12-4? There are a number of parties that have filed requests for intervention, and we will take that first. I believe it's AT&T Communications, filed on November 21, MCI, doing business as Verizon Business Services, Local Exchange Carriers Association, Level 3 Communications, LLC, filed petitions for intervention on November 21, 2008. So we can certainly take them in that order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp, AT&T. I'd like to thank the commission for juggling the agenda. I am the responsible party for not being able to manage my own calendar. AT&T intervened in this docket in as much as there is a lot to be determined as to what the proposed tariff revisions will do as it relates to the cost that AT&T and other exchange carriers will see increase if the tariff revisions are approved. I know that the commission is aware that AT&T is an inter-exchange carrier in South Dakota and has a direct pecuniary interest in this matter, in that if the revisions are allowed, it will necessarily increase the amount of switch access charges that AT&T will have to pay in the state, and the costs associated with that would be passed on to AT&T's customers in South Dakota. We'd ask at this time that we are granted intervention status, and as there is some uncertainty as to what the input, or I should say what the result would be if these tariff revisions were allowed to take place, we'd ask that they be suspended pursuant to statute until this matter can be negotiated between the parties and brought before the commission either by way of settlement or through a hearing process. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would be available for any questions.
Thank you very much. Next, LECA.
That would be LECA.
Yes.
Thank you. This is Darla Rogers, and we have filed for intervention in this docket, and I guess we are on the opposite side of the coin of AT&T and on the same side as Quest in the sense that LECA member companies serve as local exchange carriers, and each of the member companies of LECA provides switched access services to other carriers operating in the state, and that would include terminating switched access services. LECA has taken a very active role in assisting its members to provide access or accurate PIUs, and we are really interested in the filing that Quest has made here. We're supportive of it. We, too, as LECA members, have an interest in the outcome of the docket because whatever the commission orders or whatever is ultimately resolved in this particular docket certainly could affect future tariff revisions for LECA. So we would respectfully request to be granted intervention in this docket. And I'm available for questions. I also have Marlene Bennett on the phone if any of you have more technical or specific questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And Verizon?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Brett Kennecke appearing on behalf of Verizon Business, or I should say MCI Communications Services, Inc., doing business as Verizon Business Services. We, too, have an interest in switched access rates paid in South Dakota, as demonstrated in our petition to intervene. We would have comments generally along the lines of Mr. Van Camp, and we would ask for to be granted intervention this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. SDTA also filed. Do you have anything, Mr. Coit?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Richard Coit, and I'm here today as General Counsel for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. And first, I would like, I guess, a little bit of forgiveness, maybe. I attempted to make the filing on Friday afternoon. I don't know, it was about 4:30 or so, and thought that it had actually been submitted through the electronic medium that we all use so much. Apparently it didn't go through. I was having some email troubles that day. I probably didn't do enough to check to make sure that it went through, and I apologize for that. But I did submit it yesterday morning as soon as I had found out that it did not go through. So I would ask for some permission to submit this and have it received as a late filed petition, I guess. With respect to the petition itself, you may be asking, you know, why both LECA and SDTA have filed. There are several SDTA member companies that file individual company-specific tariffs. That includes Fort Randall, Mount Rushmore, Kadoka Telephone, Prairie Wave Community Telephone. I think those are the only four. But given that, we felt that we should file as an association to also intervene in the proceedings and support the Quest filing for the same reasons that Ms. Rogers has mentioned in her comments. So with that, I would rely on the written petition to intervene, and I would request intervention status. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to make a presentation on any of the requests for intervention?
I do, Commissioner. Brett Kennecke, again, appearing for Level 3. Level 3 filed a petition on Friday, and I was informed yesterday that they wish to withdraw that petition. I was informed late yesterday, and I will be following up with paperwork, the Level 3 withdrawal, but I'd ask you to consider that this morning as long as we're on the topic.
Thank you. Are you representing anyone else this morning?
Not in telecommunications.
All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard as an intervener on this? Is Quest on the phone? Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's George Thompson for Quest. Mr. Chairman, I make several observations. Number one, I think AT&T's counsel alluded to the fact that there are discussions ongoing with Quest, between Quest and AT&T, regarding potential settlement of this case, and I would simply say that I would confirm that those discussions are ongoing. With regard to Mr. Kennecke's representation of MCI, I would simply point out to the Commission that MCI has very similar, if not identical, tariffs filed in their RBOC territory in their local exchange region. I would point out that the other two interveners, South Dakota or SDTA and SDN, both support the tariff filing that Quest has made, and having understood now that Level 3 intends to withdraw, I would say that there may not be a need here to, A, suspend the tariff, or, B, have a formal hearing with regard to these matters. And having said that, I'll stand for any questions that the Commission may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Savold, do you have anything?
No, I have no comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from commissioners on, excuse me, I'd like to go to staff. Ms. Kramer.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer from staff. I wasn't clear if Quest objected to the interventions of AT&T and Verizon. I assume they do not object to LECA and SDTA. Mr. Thompson, did you object to their intervention?
I would say that we don't object to SDTA or SDN's intervention. We just wanted to point out to the Commission by way of information that settlement talks are ongoing with AT&T and that MCI has similar tariffs filed in their in-region territory, their RBOC territory, and we would just point that out for the information of the Commission and would resist the and object to the intervention of MCI in this case.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman? This is Darla Rogers. Could I just please clarify that SDN is not intervening in this case? It's LECA, Local Exchange Carriers Association, if we could just make sure that the record is clear on that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is George Thompson. I apologize for any misunderstanding. I understand that it is LECA.
Thank you.
I think you cleared that. Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. Staff would recommend granting intervention to AT&T and Verizon, to the Local Exchange Carriers Association, and to SDTA. I'm not sure with Level 3 if we want to, without the paperwork being filed, if we want to address their withdrawal at this point. Maybe just wait on that and just not grant them intervention or do anything at this point. And then if you want staff's recommendation on the suspension at this time?
Yes, please, we would.
Staff would recommend suspending the proposed tariff revisions pursuant to SDCL 4931.12.4. And the reason for that is they do go into effect December 1. I would doubt that the matter will be taken care of in that amount of time, so I would recommend suspension. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you... I was writing as you were making your recommendations. You recommended AT&T, Verizon, SDTA, and LECA?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions by the commissioners? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission grant intervention to AT&T, MCI, doing business as Verizon, LECA, and SDTA, and that take no action on the Level 3 intervention.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Is there a motion to suspend the tariff? Ms. Wiest.
I feel like
I should have called on you earlier.
No. I just had a question. Did staff have a recommendation about the time frame? Would it be for the whole 120 days? Or?
Well, at this point, I think you can suspend it for the 120 days. If it gets worked out before that, then the parties can come back with a revised, if there are revised tariffs or whatever settlement is worked out, at which point then there would be a new effective date.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify the time frame.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
I'll motion that the commission suspend the proposed tariff revisions for 120 days.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us back to the beginning of our agenda. First item is approval of the minutes of the commission meeting held on October 21, 2008. Is there a motion for approval? I have a motion. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. 3-0. Status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by the commission. Ms. Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The commission has received a total of 108 contacts since the last report was prepared for the November 12, 2008 commission meeting. 23 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 16 contacts involved electric service, 12 contacts involved natural gas services, 2 contacts involved electrical and natural gas service, 9 contacts involved cell phone service, 13 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 1 contact involved the Keystone Pipeline, 14 contacts involved the grain warehouse, and 18 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 2,261 of the 2,321 complaints received in 2008 have been resolved, and 2,328 of the 2,337 complaints received in 2007 have been resolved.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Moving on then to electric docket EL08-001 in the matter of the application of XL Energy for a permit to construct 6.5 miles of 115 kV transmission line and associated modifications to the Brookings substation. On November 14, 2008, XL filed a third motion to extend final approval deadline. Today the question is, shall the commission grant XL Energy's third motion to extend final approval deadline? Mr. Wilcox.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Jim Wilcox here. Company needs some more time to conclude this matter, so we respectfully request an extension to January 31st.
Thank you. Ms. Kramer.
Thank you. Staff would recommend granting Excel's third motion to extend the final approval deadline.
Any questions by commissioners? Is there a motion?
A motion in... EL08-001, that the commission grant Excel's third motion to extend their final approval deadline.
Discussion on that motion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. Second item, EL08-002, 2016-028 in the matter of the consideration of the new purpose standards. Question before the Commission is, how shall the Commission proceed? Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007 includes four new standards that this Commission must consider. And staff has some suggestions as to how we can most effectively tackle those federal standards, and we did submit them in writing, but just by way of review, staff recommends, which we've already done, is to open a docket and begin the research and investigation. So we've already done that. Now, these standards have built-in timeframes under which the Commission must consider them, and there was some inconsistency in how those timeframes were all written. We believe it'd be easiest and most effective, however, to group all those timeframes together and handle them all the same. Those time frames being, we must open this docket and begin the investigation by December 19 of this year. We have then until next December to decide whether or not to adopt those standards. So we have a year in which to tackle this process. And as we know from the interconnection process, it can take that long. So we're anxious to get started on this. So my first recommendation is that we consider that time frame to apply to all four standards. The second recommendation is then that we put a procedural schedule together, and Commission staff can work with Commission Council and get such a schedule put together. I think it would be most effective to start with a paper hearing process so we can fully understand how these standards will affect the utilities with which we work. So I recommend that we put together a procedural schedule. And we'll know, I believe, from the comments we receive, whether or not a workshop process or what we're going to know from there. But at this point, I think it's too early to predict where we go next. And with session quickly approaching here, I foresee that schedule for that first set of comments to be after session, maybe sometime this spring. With that, available for questions or comments from the Commission or Commission Council.
Thank you. Are there any other staff wishing to address the Commission on this item at this time? If not, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address the Commission at this time? Commissioners, questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thanks. Two questions. First off, I mean, would it make good sense to stagger a little bit? I mean, the 532s and move them back 6 months? I mean, if we were to dive into a workshop process and figure out that, I mean, that could take a lot of time, as you know better than I do. Did you give any thoughts to staggering the two sets a bit?
We did, but we considered the staggering in the decision-making process. We thought first it'd be good to get the comments all out there so we know what we're working with. And from there, we could have a phase two of this process where we dig in more in depth in a more staggered way. I think there is some great validity to handling them separately.
So the procedural schedule wouldn't initially envision that, but because there's no statutory requirement for the 532 to be done by the end of 09, that could evolve.
It could.
Okay. And then, secondly, sort of the fifth standard, you know, quote unquote, is there any benefit to addressing that one to provide more certainty to people who are interested in doing a project like that, as opposed to sort of making them take a wait and see approach?
I think it would be difficult for us to address it, there's just really nothing to address. The Commission isn't charged with doing anything until a project comes to you. I don't know what we would address. I don't know quite what action we would take on that. If there is a way to build in some certainty, I think it could be warranted for sure, but I don't know what that would be.
Well, and I'm envisioning, and no doubt you've read a lot more about this, you know, fifth standard than I have, but I would envision, I mean, what's the Congress want us to do? I mean, presumably they want us to look at rate treatment for these waste energy projects. And would we be able to have that conversation in the absence of a pending project? And maybe not effectively, I don't know. And maybe I'm missing a key component. Maybe they're not looking at I mean, how those would be. I mean, are they asking us about interconnection? Or are they asking us to take a look at how those projects, you know, get treated from a regulatory standpoint?
And that might be a great thing to include in the comments period from staff and from the companies, and we can dig into it further and understand more what they would like for us to consider and have a discussion on that very point. So, certainly.
Mr. Rislov?
This is Greg Rislov. This reminds me a bit of work that was in front of us from the Energy Act of 1978 and allowed for facilities to be constructed and the utilities to purchase energy from those facilities that burned waste fuel, it was called. We had such a plant come before us. A plant down near Edgemont was planned, and it was designed to burn what I understand to be the real bottom of the barrel stuff when it came to oil production. And the problem with developing rules for that, although they can be helpful in a very high-level sense, is that each of these requires proceeding that looks almost like a separate cost of service and it's site-specific. So it becomes a little bit like a rate case where every utility is different, every year is different, every circumstance is different. So while you may develop very high-level rules, and I'm going to guess few, it's very difficult to do that ahead of time because you don't know what the project is and you don't know what the circumstances are surrounding that project. I think a phrase maybe not perfectly applicable if it tends to be site-specific or project-specific, if that makes any sense.
Thank you, Mr. Rizzo. Any other questions from commissioners? If not, Commissioner Kolbeck.
Do you see this in any way being more burdensome than what we've just been through with the interconnection standards? I know some of these things, you know, smart grid information, mm-hmm. rate design. Does that trouble you in any way that this is going to take longer than actually what we're doing? Interconnection standards seems to be a little more ABC-ish, whereas this seems to be more of a policy design.
Short answer, no. We can do anything, Commissioner. Put our minds to it. No, we can get it done. And I think there were so many policy considerations within the interconnection as well, and you're going to be exploring some of those great topics here, I know, shortly. We have four staff members on this docket, which will assist as well. We've each taken a particular subject, so we can become experts in that one subject. So
okay.
I'll stick with no, we can get it done.
All right, well, that sounds good. I was just wondering if you had any concerns on staffing or any additional needs that you may need to get this accomplished.
We did have some foresight into the staffing needs, so hence the four staff members on this docket. Right.
Thank you.
Any further questions? If not, is there a motion?
I would move that we adopt all the staff recommendations as outlined in the memo.
Discussion?
I would just note, I mean, I do think from a policy standpoint, analyzing the fifth standard might be a benefit, but I also think we'll probably learn a lot from what other states are going to do. And so rather than dive into this one, since we don't have to, let's tread water for a little bit. See what other people do on that front and see if we can take some ideas from their experience.
Thank you. Any further discussion? If not, Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes yes. Motion carries. Docket DL08-030 in the matter of the filing by Otter Tail Corporation doing business as Otter Tail Power Company for authority to increase electric rates in South Dakota. Question for the Commission is, shall the Commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for 90 days beyond November 30th, 2008, and shall the Commission assess a filing fee for actual expenses not to exceed $100,000? Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Both of these requests are pursuant to two statutes and is common practice for the Commission in these sorts of filings. Staff respectfully request the Commission to grant both requests.
Does Otter Tail have anything they wish to present to the commission at this time? Commissioners, do you have any questions?
Just out of curiosity, do we know what the costs incurred were for the Black Hills Power electric rate case? Approximately. And if we don't, I mean, it's not really germane to this. I'm just curious if $100,000 is plenty or if at some point in the future that's going to need to be adjusted.
I believe it probably approached the $100,000 mark, and I couldn't say for sure certain, but I expect it probably did.
Okay. Well, this is set for a maximum, so it probably doesn't matter. But just good to know for the future, you know, not this legislative session likely, but maybe, you know, the year after that, or the year after that, or the year after that. So, thanks.
Thank you. On EL08-030, are there any other questions? Commission action?
I motion EL08-030 that the commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for 90 days beyond November 30th, and that the commission assess the filing fee for actual expenses not to exceed $100,000.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes yes. Motion carries. Docket EL08-031 in the matter of the application by Buffalo Ridge 2, LLC, a subsidiary of Iberdrola Renewables Incorporated, for an energy conversion facility permit for the construction of the Buffalo Ridge 2 wind farm and associated collection substation and electric interconnection system. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the request? Mr. Kennecke?
Good morning, commissioners and staff. Brett Kennecke for Iberdrola, the people who filed the application for Buffalo Ridge 2. We would ask the commission to set a hearing in Brookings for January 5th at 6 p.m. At the Swiftel Center. We noted some changes to the notice statutes in the public meeting portion during the last session, and given the holidays, the timing of our filing, and the deadlines for publication this time of year, we had some real difficulties making the original thought of December 22nd. In fact, I did have to presume yesterday that you would approve this and make a publication in the Clear Lake Courier, my hometown newspaper, that this hearing would indeed be set for January 5th. We have requirements to give notice prior to 30 days. You have requirements to give notice, I think, after 30 days. It's been a substantial amount of difficulty determining whose responsibilities to give notice are going to be complied with. I presume with the January 5th they'll all be complied with. However, we would have to waive the application of SDCL 4941B16, which requires the commission to hold public hearings within 30 days after public notice is given. And I think if that refers to our public notice being given, then we would waive that application. I'm not sure how that relates to your public notice being given, but in any event, we would certainly implore you to set January 5th in Brookings as the time and place for that public meeting.
Thank you. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Kara Semler. I'll start by saying I believe no harm will come and we can hold a very effective public meeting on January 5th. We do, however, need to modify two statutes, I believe, 4941B15 and 16, as Mr. Kennecke already mentioned. Those are for both the notice and the date of the public hearing. The notice won't happen all within 30 days, and the hearing won't occur 30 days thereafter. And we're about, 5 days outside of that? Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't believe there will be any prejudice. The applicant, who is protected by 41B16, that statute, I think, is in place to require we as a commission, we as a staff, keep this application moving, and the applicant has indicated he's willing to waive that. It's willing to waive the protections provided by that statute. Again, we're 5 days out. I don't see any harm We request that the commission waive those time frame notices by mere days for the notice and for the public hearing date.
Thank you. So anyone else wishing to address the commission on EL08-031? Please.
Good morning, Chairman. Robert Hill on behalf of Brookings County Commission. The County Commission would respectfully respect the January 5th, 2009 date. That would give us more time for the... We've got some people in the community in that particular area leaving for the holidays, and they should be back by January 5th, which would make the hearing more fair and open to us.
So you don't think, as the agenda is printed, that we should hold it January 5th, 2008? You don't think that'll work too well?
No, I did ask if we had a time capsule to push us back, but... someone said the state government's got a lot of power, but not quite
that. we appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Are there any further questions? If not, commissioners, I will move that the commission grant on EL08-031 that the commission grants request, and that January 5th, 2009 date of hearing in Brookings be set. Is that satisfactory? According to staff's recommendations, how's that?
Do we need to waive the 30-day notice?
EL 4941B16.
And 15 requires the notice go out within 30 days, and it's going to be outside 30 days.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That is part of the motion. Any further questions?
So just to be clear, the part of the motion, Ms. Summer, you're saying that we need to waive 15 and 16, the application?
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Smith?
Yeah, just one question. I don't know the days as well as you do, Ms. Sandler, but and maybe Mr.
They're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I never was good at counting my toes. At any rate, I guess the question is, in our rule, we have a 60 days from filing deadline for intervention. I know in TransCanada, where we stretched the hearing dates past that, we also established an intervention deadline that gave people a little ways after the hearing so they had a reasonable time in case they showed up and then decided to get into the case. Might we want to do something like that as well?
This is Kara Summer. I think that makes great sense, to allow interested individuals to attend the hearing, hear the information, and can decide from there if they'd like to intervene.
Mr. Kaneke, you approached. Did you have something?
Separate thoughts. I would think setting the intervention deadline for the Friday of the week after the 5th. I think the 5th is on a Monday. If you set it for the Friday of that next week, that'd be acceptable to my client. As far as the notice goes, we've discussed the 60 days and the 30 days and the outside of the 30 days or not. I will tell you that our notice is published tomorrow in the Clear Lake Courier and the Brookings Register, and again next Wednesday in both of those papers, and so that will be prior to the 30 days. We have the envelopes addressed at our office to send notice out to the landowners, as we've discussed, within that half-mile area, and that notice might not go out tomorrow given the vagaries of everything that goes on in a short week. But it would certainly go out of our office early next week, which would be well prior to the 30 days period prior to the hearing going on. So we stand ready to give our notice to give people plenty of opportunity to get this on their calendars in those communities and areas and show up at the public hearing. We also took the liberty of presuming that we'd be allowed to give a very short presentation, as has been done before, to give some context to the comments of the public, and I said that the commission would reserve the great bulk of the time allotted for the hearing in order to allow the public to be heard by the commission. I know that you think that's important. I want you to know that I think and my client thinks the public input is very important as well. We expect that there will be people there that won't know anything about a wind farm, and we will try in as brief a time as possible to give some context for those people to make their comments. But we look forward to hearing what the public has to say to you and to us as well.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. So shall we be clear on the motion, since we've had some discussion, that on EL08-031, that the commission grant the request and set the date of January 5, 2009 in Brookings for the hearing, and that we waive both SDCL 49-41B16 and SDCL 49-41B15. Is there anything else that needs to be a part of that motion?
Does the intervention deadline extension need to be there, Mr. Smith?
Well, it wouldn't hurt. It'd just save having to stick it on an agenda at a future deadline, future date. I don't know, Mr. Kennedy, do you happen to have a date specific for that Friday you were talking about?
I don't, Mr. Smith, but there are other matters that I expect to file and have on an agenda preceding
okay. The
public hearing. We are talking about an order for confidentiality with respect to the SHPO materials that we had to file so that interveners could, you know, opt into that order, and then there are some things that will be coming, so if we want to wait and make sure we take care in the selection of that date, there's opportunities to do that.
Okay, and I don't think so then. I would also note that the commission has a history of liberality in out-of-time intervention, so my belief is that nobody will, in reality, end up being prejudiced. It's just more to kind of put some structure into the thing.
Well,
we can do that in the future.
Well, we can place that now. How would you wish to phrase that? Just that.
I can't remember the dates that Mr. Kennedy said. January 16th. That also that intervention deadline be extended till January 16th, 2009.
Thank you. That is part of the motion as well. Any further discussion on the motion?
I just want to pause because I got to the 16th in my mind. So can we double check the calendar? Not that it matters a whole lot, but if that's Sunday, I'll feel stupid. Perfect.
Any further questions? If not, Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. Telecommunications, TC06-175, in the matter of the petition of Sprint Communications Company, LP, for arbitration pursuant to the Telecommunications Act of 1996 to resolve issues relating to an interconnection agreement with Interstate Telecommunications Cooperative, Incorporated. Today, shall the Commission grant motion to withdraw? Ms. Summer, are you having this one too?
I would look to the parties that made the motion first. Staff does support their request.
On November 17, 2008, Sprint filed a motion to withdraw. Sprint?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Quentin Riggins for Talbot Wysoric. We would rely on the information provided in the motion to withdraw and add only that Sprint and MediaCom have mutually decided not to enter into the interstate market at this time, and that's the reason for the motion to withdraw.
Thank you. Excuse me. Mr. Kennedy, do you have something on this?
I don't, Commissioner. I, of course, represent MediaCom in these dockets, and it occurred to me that Mr. Riggins might not be as well prepared as he might like to be. I've been sent in to do battle on things I wasn't involved in previously as well, so I have no comments on this docket, but I would affirm his statement that MediaCom and Sprint have mutually decided not to enter these markets for telecom at this time. MediaCom is still, I believe, the incumbent cable provider in those communities going forward, but if you get down further to the docket in which MediaCom is the party, we would ask that you grant the motion to withdraw. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions by commissioners? Seeing none, is there a motion?
We're just speaking of the one docket. Right,
just
now.
A motion to withdraw for sprint.
Okay. So TC06, 175, motion that the commission grant the motion to withdraw.
Discussion?
I wonder if there wouldn't be some efficiencies at taking up their sprint, their motion to withdraw in a number of these dockets at once, as we've sort of done in the past, sort of lump 70, 175, 176, and as well as the request in 180 and 189 for withdrawal.
And I didn't read those at the time, so those not having been read, we can take those up after this one. We have a motion. Any further discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. That is a good suggestion, Commissioner Johnson. Appreciate it. On TC06176, in the matter of the petition of Sprint Communications Company, LP, for arbitration pursuant to Telecommunications Act of 1996 to resolve issues relating to an interconnection agreement with Brookings Municipal Utilities doing business as Swiftel Communications. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the motion to withdraw? On TC06-180, in the matter of the application of Sprint Communications Company, LP, for authority to provide local exchange services in certain rural areas served by interstate telecommunications. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the motion by Sprint to withdraw? In TC06189, in the matter of the application by MCC Telephony of the Midwest Incorporated doing business as Mediacom, for a COA to provide local exchange services in the Castlewood, Elkton, Esteline, Hayti, Lake Norton, and White exchanges. On November 17th, MCC filed a motion to withdraw. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the motion to withdraw? On those dockets, are there any parties who wish to come before the commission? Are there any recommendations? We've seen the recommendations from staff. Does staff desire to reiterate those? Any questions from the commissioners? Motion from the commissioners.
I motion in TC06176, TC06180, and TC06189 that the commission grant the motion to withdraw in all packets.
Discussion on those motions? Seeing none, Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. On item 5, TC07-107, in the matter of unauthorized long-distance changes and unauthorized telephone charges made by reduced rates long-distance. Commission staff received notice reduced rates has not settled all formal complaints as the consent order requires. Staff filed a motion requesting an alternative solution in light of said information. Question before the commission is, how shall the commission proceed? Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Meredith Moore is local counsel for reduced rates. She is in hearings in Minneapolis and cannot be here today. I'd ask the commission to defer this item until she can be available. Also, like for you to know, she has worked very hard to resolve this. So the local council has represented the company well, and I hope we can simply get this resolved before our next meeting. Nonetheless, we need to defer it at this time.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the commissioners? Is there a motion?
I would move that the commission take no action at this time. Did you want a deferral to a date specific and a similar, or just wait for the next agenda?
Let's wait for the next agenda. Okay. I'm not sure how this will turn out.
I move the commission take no action.
Any discussion on the motion? If not, Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. In the matter of the petition for arbitration pursuant to the Telecommunications Act of 1996 to resolve issues relating to an interconnection agreement in dockets TC07-112-113-114-115 and -116. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the joint stipulation to supplement the record on consolidated arbitrated hearing? Ms. Kramer? Mr. Taylor, Ryan Taylor, you're on the phone with us for this docket, these dockets. At least you were. Mr. Taylor? Mr. Taylor, you were on before. Do you have your line on mute? Would staff see if they can reach Mr. Taylor and Ms. Kramer? We will hear from you while we're waiting.
That's fine. Or Mr. Zorich, I believe, was also part of the stipulation, and it's Quentin Riggins. But basically, Ms. Moore has filed a joint stipulation, and Mr. Zorich has signed as his staff to supplement the record. In those hearings that we held, the cover sheets were submitted, but not the whole study itself. And we have since received those, and they're asking just that record be supplemented with the whole study.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wazorik, are you on the line? And I believe there's another gentleman with you.
It's still Mr. Riggins only. Mr. Wazorik has not been able to make it here yet. From my understanding, what Mr. Wazorik has told me of this matter, I don't really have anything to add to that. The parties have stipulated to supplement the record, and we would ask that you allow this request.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners? If not, is there a motion?
We move the commission approve the joint stipulation.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck? Hanson votes yes. Motion carries. Item docket TC08-107, in the matter of the application of Stellacom, Inc., doing business as ITC for a COA to provide inter-exchange telecommunications services in South Dakota. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant a COA to SST Telecom Incorporated, DBA ITC?
Mr. Chairman, sorry to interrupt, but I might have some questions on this, and I wonder if it wouldn't be more efficient to put it in the back in case we need to kick everybody else off the phone lines.
All right.
If that's acceptable to you.
There's a request by a commissioner, which will be honored, to place this at the end of the agenda. TC08-124, in the matter of the joint application of Consolidated Communications Operated Services Incorporated and Consolidated Communications Network Services Incorporated for approval to transfer the COA of Consolidated Communications Operated Services Incorporated to Consolidated Communications Network Services Incorporated doing business as Consolidated Communications Operated Services. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the COA transfer? Ms. Kramer? Mr. Binder?
Thank you. This filing we did find was in line with all of our administrative rules for the transfer from CCOS, I'm going to abbreviate here rather than going through all those again, to CCNS. They have agreed to restrictions on prepaid services, including calling cards, and will not accept nor require deposits for advanced payments. This is consistent with the original certificate of authority. They did request a waiver of 2010-24028, which is the they had read to require them to submit a map of their service area with the initial COA. They provided a narrative description, which is the entire state of South Dakota or throughout South Dakota, that I feel is more than sufficient for our needs here. So that's just one note where they did request that waiver, and staff isn't recommending necessarily giving that waiver. We're not objecting to it. It's not necessary in this case because they have met the requirements of that clause. There is one stipulation we'd also like to recommend, that this transfer be effective as of January 1st, 2009. The reason they're requesting this transfer is they're reorganizing their business, and staff just wants to make sure that they're covered currently with the way that business is with their current COA, and that this transfer doesn't take effect until the business is reorganized. We just don't want there to be a lapse anywhere in there. So we are recommending that the commission approve this transfer of COA from CCOS to CCNS with the prepaid restrictions, and that it be effective as of January 1st, 2009.
Thank you. Any questions? Is there a motion?
I would move that the commission approve the transfer with all of the existing restrictions still in place, and that an effective date of January 1st, 2009 be used.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes yes. Motion carries. TC08-125. In the matter of the application of Total Holdings Incorporated, doing business as GTC Communications for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange telecommunication services in South Dakota. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant a COA to Total Holdings doing business as GTC Communications? Mr. Binder.
Thank you again. GTC, Total Holdings Incorporated, has filed in accordance to our administrative rules. We would recommend that the, GTC has also agreed to not offering prepaid services, including calling cards, and not accept or require any deposits, advance payments without approval of the commission. With those restrictions, we would recommend that the commission grant a COA to GTC in South Dakota.
Thank you. Questions? Is there a motion?
I motion TC08-125 that the commission grant the COA of Total Holdings Inc. and businesses GTC Communications for staff's recommendation.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. TC08-126 in the matter of the filing for approval of an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and Quantum Shift Communications Incorporated doing business as VCOM Solutions. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the interconnection agreement? Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The agreement was properly filed and executed. It does not appear to contain discriminatory language. No comments were filed. Staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to address the commission on this item? Commission questions? Commission action.
I motion TC08-126 that the commission approve the interconnection agreement.
Discussion. Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck.
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. Turning to the first item on our agenda, on our addendum to our agenda, TC08-007 in the matter of the complaint filed by Keller Electric Peer, South Dakota, against Nationwide Long Distance Service regarding unauthorized switching of services. The parties have reached a settlement. The question today is, shall the commission dismiss the complaint and close the docket? Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keller Electric filed a formal complaint in this docket after efforts to resolve it informally were unsuccessful. Pleased to tell you today that as a result of filing its formal complaint, the company, Nationwide Long Distance, agreed to pay the fine as is statutorily required, and they reimbursed the company. The company has been made completely whole, and we ask today, and I speak on behalf of Keller Electric, that you dismiss and close this docket.
Thank you. Any questions?
I didn't bring that letter with me, but memory serves. I mean, the damages were like, what, about $250 or something, and then the fine's $1,000. Is that right?
I believe it was actually into the 300s. It was $380.91.
Okay. So Keller Electric has already received around $1,400 or the check from the mail?
They've received the $1,000 check. It came yesterday. The $380 will be a reimbursement through their phone company, through the phone bill.
Okay, great. And they do have $1,000 in hand.
They do.
Great.
Are there any further questions? Is there a motion?
I would move to dismiss the complaint and close the docket.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. That brings us to the end of our agenda. We have carried one item over. I will we have a number of announcements, and since those are printed on the agenda, I will not be going over all of those announcements at this time. We will simply turn our attention to TC08-107. We've already read its application by SS Telecom for a certificate of authority. And Commissioner Johnson, you have some questions on that. You feel that those are proprietary in nature?
No, I might not even have to ask. Might we just go ahead and hear from SS Telecom or staff what they've got to say?
Thank you. SS Telecom, are you represented?
This is Joanne Horman from Vantage Point and Doug Adel from Vantage Point, and we are representing SS Telecom.
Thank you. Would you repeat the names again?
Joanne Horman and Doug Adel.
Thank you. And did you hear the was there a question that you posed, Commissioner Johnson, or did you just wish to hear?
I just wanted to hear any comments that staff and SS Telecom might have, you know, normally in the way that they would, you know, pitch this filing, their analysis of it. And so if SS Telecom didn't have anything, they're interested in hearing, you know, staff's recommendations and any restrictions they might have.
Ms. Horman, Mr. Adel?
Commissioners, I guess we don't have anything. We've worked on with staff. Of course, SS Telecom is a wholly owned subsidiary of ITC, Clear Lake, South Dakota. Staff brought it to our attention several months ago that perhaps we didn't have full long-distance authority when that oversight was brought to our attention. We filed this application, and we've worked with the staff to answer all data requests. So I guess we defer it to staff and be glad to answer any other questions.
Mr. Thurber, on August 27, 2008, SS Telecom filed an application for a certificate of authority to provide resold inter-exchange telecommunications services in exchanges served by Quest throughout South Dakota. The applicant has met the requirements for granting the certificate of authority and have provided staff with all requested information. The applicant has agreed to modify its existing surety bond to cover both local exchange and inter-exchange services. Staff recommends granting the certificate of authority with the bond rider.
Thank you.
Are there any questions by commissioners?
I would ask a general one, which hopefully will get it done. I mean, Mr. Thurber, as you reviewed the financials, are you comfortable that between the financials and the bond that, I mean, you haven't recommended any restrictions against prepayments and deposits. Are you comfortable with that given the bond and the financials?
They've been in business for a while, and there's been limited complaints, so we're okay with the coverage of the bond.
Remind me of the level of bond coverage, if it's not confidential.
$25,000.
Commissioner, in the case where financials warranted, I'm not aware that we've ever required a bond and restricted the company. I think it's either one or the other, according to what the applicant prefers or can muster. So,
great. Thanks very much, Mr. Jacobson. No further questions. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jacobson and Mr. Thurber. Are there any further questions? Mr. Smith.
This is kind of odd, and maybe it's, I'm not sure if it's for you, Mr. Thurber, or Mr. Adel, but I mean, it looked, in just reading the app, it looked like you're just asking for authority in the Quest areas. You're not asking for statewide interchange authority. Is that the deal?
Yeah, we followed up with a data request, and I believe the reason why they're doing that is because they have local exchange authority just in the Quest areas, and they want to mirror those areas for long distance as well. If Mr. Adel has something to add.
That's correct. We've got no interest really in providing any long distance services and do not provide long distance services outside of the Milbank exchange at this time. And regarding the, you know, the bond, and I'm sorry I can't give you an amount, but the deposits or any prepaid, there are some prepaid calling cards which are very few nowadays, and usually in a CLEC situation, there aren't much for deposits. If you ask for a deposit, they don't want to be a customer. So the bond should far exceed what our prepaid items would be.
Perfect. Thanks, Mr. Wright. I'll appreciate that.
Thank you. Any further questions at this time? Seeing none, is there a motion? On TC08-017, I will move that the Commission grant a COA to SS Telecom Incorporated and doing business as ITC. Discussion? Per staff's recommendations, yes. Thank you. Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Koldak?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. That brings us to the end of the agenda, and rather than going through the announcements at this time, I'll just request that staff work out a time that is convenient for the changing of the guard, so to speak, the election of the new chair, which I suspect will be probably in early December. December 9? Okay. If that works for the other commissioners. Seeing no further business before the commission, is there a motion to adjourn? I have a motion to adjourn. All those in favor, please signify by saying yes. All those opposed, please signify by saying no. Motion carries. We stand adjourned.